Last weekend's joint attack in Syria by French, British, and American forces seems likely to extend American troop involvement there. There are already some 2,000 U.S. forces in Syria. U.S. troops are also involved in combat, counterterrorism, or combat support missions in Iraq, Africa, the Philippines, and elsewhere. This year marks the American military's 17th year in Afghanistan. Phil Klei is a former U.S. Marine who's written about America's seemingly open-ended military missions, the Forever Wars, in the upcoming edition of The Atlantic. The piece is titled, Two Decades of War Have Eroded the Morale of America's Troops. And Phil Klei joins me now from New York. Welcome, Phil.
Thank you for having me.
In your piece, you quote a Marine friend who wrote in a letter home from Afghanistan, the biggest problem wasn't so much handling violence. It was, quote, a maddeningly ambiguous environment with an ill-defined mission set that kept changing. That kind of gets to the heart of your essay, doesn't it?
Yeah, I noticed, I mean, probably as early as 2011, guys in Afghanistan or coming back from Afghanistan who found it incredibly difficult to articulate either what they expected the mission to achieve where they had been or just frankly didn't really believe in the mission at all. You know, I quote a sergeant in a unit that suffered the highest casualty rate of any battalion in Afghanistan up to that point. And the sergeant was asked about, you know, the purpose of the war and what it was. And he just said, this war is stupid. So what? Our country's in it. And I just started wondering, what does that do over time? And also, why is it that we as a nation are just unable to provide even minimally coherent military policy such that, you know, the average guy on the ground could point to a public debate and say, here's the mission, this is how it's going to be achievable, this is what success looks like.
You ask essentially, is that profound sense of duty really enough? Is it adequate?
I think over the long term, it's not. And I think it's, you know, it is tremendously important to people that what they're doing is not for nothing. Nobody wants to risk their life for no purpose. And you know, people join the military for a whole host of reasons, but a sort of kernel of idealism is always in there. And certainly in terms of the things that bind people together in a military unit, a sense of purpose, a sense of mission is tremendously important. And that's increasingly difficult to find and at the same time, we're providing ill-defined missions but we're relying increasingly on the same troops over and over again. So particularly in the special forces community or special operations community, we're sending guys on deployment after deployment after deployment. The head of Special Operations Command called it an unsustainable pace. We deployed special operations forces to 149 countries last year. And so it's just incredibly, incredibly wearying for these troops. You know, I spoke to – I remember meeting a Marine who had – not a Marine, sorry, a soldier who developed post-traumatic stress and broke down after his 10th deployment. You know, that's a lot. That's a lot to ask of anyone.
That's unsustainable. And you question whether America is really grappling with the suffering and the fallout caused by, as you put it, its mismanaged wars.
Right. So and I think one of the things that is really disturbing to me is the degree to which kind of public debate and accountability has fallen away. So I was in Iraq in 2007. I was there as part of the surge that President Bush had ordered where we increased the number of troops to Iraq. And at the time, the surge was hotly debated. In September, Ambassador Ryan Crocker and General David Petraeus came before Congress. They were grilled. And so there was a real effort on sort of all sides of the debate to actually grapple with complex questions about what our military mission was, what it was supposed to achieve, and whether we were achieving it. And then there was a little bit more of that when President Obama announced a surge to Afghanistan. But very quickly, particularly as he was trying to pull troops back, public discussion of wars became very muted.
President Trump as a candidate and now as commander-in-chief has repeatedly pledged to support servicemen and women. I mean, he's increased counterterrorism operations in Yemen, Pakistan, and Somalia. Sure. But you write, an onslaught of counterterrorism raids doesn't make a policy. Do you think the lack of a clear strategy and mission is only worsened under President Trump?
Yes. And this is something that I was concerned about while he was running. I actually had a chance to ask him a question during the campaign. And the question that I asked him was, you know, I said, look, over the past decade and a half, a lot of Marines and soldiers have fought and died taking, you know, taking back territory from insurgent groups in Iraq and Afghanistan, only to then leave and watch new insurgent groups spring back. And my question for him was, after the fall of ISIS, you know, what was his plan for the region to ensure that that didn't happen? And he didn't really have a answer. He kind of gave a long, rambling critique of President Obama's strategy and then said that we should take the oil, which didn't make a lot of sense. And instead, what we've seen is in many ways a continuation of the policy that we've had under Obama, a little bit more bombast coming from the commander-in-chief and also sort of, you know, ramping up some types of counter-terror strikes, but nothing that would kind of cohere into a strategy. And the starkest example of the disconnect is if you look at what military leaders have been saying for years at this point, you have former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, current chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, talking about the essential role that the State Department and USAID and other foreign aid programs will play. And what do we have? We have a commander-in-chief who ramps up military strikes but is gutting the State Department, wants to gut foreign aid programs. And, you know, there's no there's no sense of forming any kind of coherent strategy for the regions that, you know, where we have battlefield successes for handling the aftermath.
Don't American citizens need to take more responsibility, though, for the disconnect between civilians and the military? I mean, people are out shopping and taking out the garbage and trying to get their mortgage paid while America is involved around the world, and there's this profound disconnect. How do you try to bridge that gap?
Yes, but I think it's hard when your elected leaders are are avoiding that debate. And I think that's probably where it needs to start, because the actual problem is that we no longer have real accountability. And what I would like is I think every 2 years the president should have to go before Congress. He should have to explain where we have troops in harm's way. He should have to explain why they're there, what the mission is, what the benchmarks for success are, so that in 2 years he can he'll have to, you know, justify what he said. And also what resources we would need in order to be successful, and then every member of Congress should have to vote on that and actually stand up for what they believe and provide some kind of oversight, which is, you know, constitutionally what Congress is supposed to be doing.
So a more coherent strategy would include clear authorization for war and sort of a more front and center public debate about the impact of the war. How would that improve troop morale? Would it affect the soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines in the field?
I think it would, because if you forced public debate, you would then be forcing every member of Congress to actually take a stand, and we would then only have wars that the American people and their representatives had actually got behind. And you would also, I think, have a much better chance of providing clear, coherent missions, right? At the very least, you know, if Congress is going to be involved, if the president is going to be forced to regularly articulate what we're doing and why, that will provide clear public statements that service members can actually look to and use to understand the purpose of their own mission, what they're doing. And I actually felt that when I was in Iraq during the surge, because I could actually look at the debates in Congress and see what people were saying, measure them against my own experience of what was happening on the ground, and use that to come to a better understanding of my role and how what I was doing was an extension of the, you know, will of the American people.
Phil Clyde's a former U.S. Marine and the author of A Peace in the Atlantic. Two decades of war have eroded the morale of America's troops. Phil, thanks for your service and for talking with us.
Thank you so much.